What's good? Episode 5. Hot is my witness. Your host, Dr. Keenan Davis. And to my left is my homie, my ace, my dude, day one, Philip Wilson. What's good, homie?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight? What's up? What's up, fat boy?
You know it. You know what I'm saying? Look, I figured that in this revamp, bringing it back, intersection of common sense, street sense, book sense, I couldn't do it any better than bringing somebody on the show that I've known for 3 decades. But more importantly, you know, recently I read something Wilson with LeBron and about LeBron, right? And it was about like how he has never left his roots, specifically his girl and his closest homies. And I was like, you know what, man? I don't want to move in no way in life without dancing with the people who I came to the party with. So for me, what better else to do is to get down on episode 5 with my guy. So I appreciate you hanging out with me. I appreciate you giving the folks some love.
Hey man, it's more than a blessing. Always have friends in your life. You've been around me, what now, 30 plus? So we've got, you know, more than 30 platinum albums. Every year has been a platinum selling year amongst our, as it pertains to our friendship. And I always say, you know, I thank God for friends and family not being able to tell the difference. And so, you know, that friendship that we've had is transferred over the years into friend, but a true brother. So I'm more than appreciative of the opportunity that we always have just to talk. And then if we can do it in this kind of setting, and hey, the things that we share that has always helped me or help you and vice versa, if somebody gets something out of it, then great. Because I mean, me and you gonna do it no matter what, right? So why not go live with it?
Simple.
Yeah.
Folks, I don't really know if it's agenda. And the reason why I say it's an agenda is so many things that we could talk to you about. But I think, you know, the real recognizes the real. And so many different facets of life that when you get too community focused, family oriented, and gamed black men in a conversation, I think, you know, sky's the limit, and the conversation could be endless. So, you know, for me, really, I told Wilson that, man, I want to have a conversation with you like we generally have, to his point, that potentially somebody somewhere listening can say, you know what? I grew tonight. And it was something that those two brothers said that really helped me realize, you know what? At 30, my life ain't over. They done been through the mud and came out on the other side. You know, at 40, 45, I can still dream. They're literally plotting up stuff as we speak. And you're never too old to try something new, but you're never, ever, ever out of this thing called life as long as you got breath in your body. And I think you're looking at two specific people who embody that mindset. Like, until it ain't no more time on that clock, we still got a shot.
That lady ain't saying on me yet.
I ain't had my cake.
She ain't even warming the vocals up.
I'm still listening to Keith Sweat on Friday nights, late night.
Man, I was playing Bobby Womack earlier.
What you know about Bobby? If you think you lonely now.
Wait until tonight, girl. Yeah. So
okay, so Bobby nice, but you got to admit, because we from the same era. Not saying Bobby ain't our era, because we grew up with people who had good music taste. But from our era, who would you say is just sneaky underrated that still goes hard when you press play today?
And we're talking R&B?
R&B.
Keith Sweat by far. I tell you who else was really nice that I used to like, and I'm talking about like eighth grade dance floor, you know what I'm saying? Waiting for the slow song at the end, R&B.
New Edition?
Aaron Hall.
Okay, that was gonna be my next one, guy. Aaron Hall. Giving me a piece of my love.
Yeah.
Let's chill.
Hey, on Piece of My Love, for all you people out there, and if Aaron Hall, if you ever see this, I was the first person to ever hear you call her a dumb bitch.
Me?
No, Aaron Hall.
Oh.
Like, in the song, Piece of My Love, he says, hold on, let me get the words right. I can't give you all of me because I'm not totally free.
Free.
Right?
But baby.
All of me because I'm not totally free. Then he says, hey, dumb bitch. But I'm going to give you a piece of my love, right?
Put that on a t-shirt, underdog.
Like,
put it on a t-shirt.
Not that there's anything to be proud of. Make no
mistake. No, it's horrible. But, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But they're going to kick us off the airwaves.
But horrible. When I heard it, I was like, oh, wow. And people used to argue me up and down. He didn't say that. I'm like, play the tape back. Aaron Hall, I need you to get with one of us somehow, some way, and confirm publicly that you said that you called her a dumb bitch at the beginning of the Piece of My Love.
Miss Wilson, come get your son. Straight up.
Hey, Aaron Hall, come holler at me and let me know the truth.
I had no idea what we was gonna be doing tonight. But like I said, you dance with the people you came to the party with. Straight up. Three decades in, clearly, I'd have heard Piece of My Love 500 times easily. What he talking about, Aaron Hall and Teddy Riley, I ain't never heard in my life. Now, it's still my cut. I'm still repping y'all. 1988, 1989, for me, that was when it was really, really popping. And it ain't got old, you know, 25 years later. So, Wilson, man, social media is a trip. Right? I mean, so many levels. I'm laughing because me saying social media is a trip is not just that alone is
gross. Laughing,
right? It's entertaining. What was something crazy you saw on social media this week?
The craziest thing I saw on social media this week, and for a lot of people, And for some people, this may really be a relevant statement. But for me, the craziest thing that I saw, there was a post. I think you had put it up, actually, about a colleague of yours driving really an understated vehicle. and his net worth, or not worth, but his annual salary being like $1.4 million. Right. And you were kind of taken aback by the averageness of the vehicle he was driving, to say the least. Right. And a person commented under your statement about that said $1.4 million doesn't go very far nowadays. And that was just fascinating. Like, in seventh grade, I had a teacher, Bert Garman.
Mr. Man. Garman, cool dude, math, good at math.
Math teacher. I had him second period, seventh grade. And he had the best statement when people would like give a dumbass answer or say something that was just idiotic. And I don't think this lady was idiotic because this could be her true reality, right? But to me, it was a Burt Garman worthy statement. So in his class, like if he said, for example, what's a seventh grade math question? You know, like what's 24 times 3?
72.
But somebody answers and says 48.
Bad answer.
He wouldn't say, he'd just look at him and say, he had his coffee in his hand, his mug, he just looked. Fascinating. That's all he would say, just simply fascinating. And so when that lady wrote that $1.4 million annually doesn't go very far, All I could think was fascinating.
And that's $116,000 a month.
$116,000 a month.
Bringing home probably 70 easy a month net.
And it don't go very far.
Like I said, let me go make that money on whatever planet that is, be homeless on that planet, survive that planet, and come back home a year later to Earth.
Let me never go to that planet. If $116,000 a month gross and $70,000 a month at net is not enough, or it doesn't go very far, I don't even want to go there. Let me find another place to go with my $70,000 net per month, and I'll show you what I can do with it.
Touche. What do you think, bigger picture, right? Not getting too philosophical, but two dudes from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Financial literacy, right? That's something that's like a buzzword these days. You know what I mean? You hear people talk about, like, you know, hey, we need mentorship for kids and we need financial literacy for adults. Now, financial literacy wasn't something we ever talked about growing up. You know, our mama's our best friend, so we already know the same stuff was basically circulating in your house, was somewhat circulating in mine too. Right. We ain't talk about no financial literacy stuff in my house. Actually, we did the total opposite. So I get that we are part of a generation, literally, that did not really have that kind of knowledge base. How do you see it really affecting the Black community at large?
By the overall consistency in being a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and we're getting pushed. I didn't say we're getting pushed, but we're deepening our stronghold on being consumers versus creators and producers. And the need to, or the desire, I guess it's, I don't know if it's a need or it's a psychological thing, when you finally do make a financial breakthrough,
mm-hmm.
you want to show, like, hey, I'm here now. And the best way to show that, by and large, I guess, is to show the things that you have, right?
You got to ride good.
Right.
You got to wear good.
Right. Dress, ride, house,
jewelry. No, we don't do the house, though. You got to understand, that ain't what we really do.
But some do.
Right? All right. I don't want to paint with a broad brush.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, I mean, if we're talking the overall community of Black people, yeah, I guess we might as well paint with a broad brush and say, yeah, because a lot of us don't go buy a home, or we'll buy a home that is in a lesser value than what our vehicle is. You know what I mean? And so that can kind of be a backwards move. You know what I mean?
And we didn't get taught, we weren't taught to hustle backwards, though. We weren't taught, like, that's the thing. And that's what's interesting about it, right? Because it ain't like your grandma, rest in peace, granny, or our parents, right? Or community leaders, with much respect, Mr. Bonner, all of them types of people, right? Who were business owners and stuff, like Mr. Puckett and them. They didn't have store. They showed us how to do it. So it wasn't like people said hustle backwards. You always had a great story about, I think it was from Mr. Bonner, about owning how many cars or owning houses, right?
Yeah, he was the first person to talk to me about success and defining it for yourself. But before I even mention that, you say they showed us how to do it. I got to give some pushback there. They didn't show us how to do it. They showed us what to do. Right. And so. Right. So they were leading by example, by the best way they knew, and they showed us what to do by, in the sense of, hey, be a business owner. I show you that I can have a business. So you see that I can have one, therefore you can have one. It was an exposure, right, into that world. But how to do it, that's where all the problems lie, right? Like, even when you talk to your kids, people will tell their children what to do, right? But the next step is, okay, how do you do it, right? And then the third step after that is, why do you do it? And if you want to take it deeper, why do you do it this way, right? What is the benefit overall of doing this? Or what is the layer on top of the layer? And that's where the problem lies. People tell you, you know, you got to spend time, or you need to devote more time into doing something. All right, I told you what to do. That's not enough. Some, and a lot of times, need, okay, how do I do that? Okay, then why am I doing it though? Right? Because a lot, especially our youth now, they're smart, right? So they they're already in a place of wanting to know how to connect the dots. Right. And why am I connecting this dot with this dot? I don't see the reason to learn this base level. Right. Because it's kind of like math, if you will. Right. If I know my addition, why do I need to know these steps? Well, if you get this base step down, then that's going to help you with this. So let me explain to you why we're doing this way. And a lot of times the people in positions to teach don't do that. And so a lot of things can get lost in translation. You know what I mean? And but Mr. Bonner, what he told me on the day of my graduation, man, he asked me, was I going to school? I told him, yeah. And he asked me, he was like, so Lou Wilson, what do you think? Would you think that I'm rich? And I was like, I don't know. And I don't really know what money you make. You know what I mean? I know you work every day. You have your own business. You don't really answer to anybody. You know, I've seen you do this. I've swept hair in this barbershop since I was a little boy. And so, I mean, you seem to be doing okay. And he says, all right, valid. He said, would you think I was a success? And again, I was like, I don't know. And he said, well, let me tell you something about the rich and wealthy. He said, I'm not going to, you know, for lack of better terms, hate. He said, I'm not going to knock anybody what they do. All right. If you have 5 houses, 10 houses, how many of them can you sleep in per night? You can only sleep in one house at a time. I mean, if you have 10 cars, how many can you drive at once? One. Right. No matter how many pair of shoes you have, how many can you wear at once? One. And he said, so where I'm going with that is all of that stuff is fine and dandy. But for me, and this is what he was saying for him, he said, for me, my level of success and me being a success is me being able to do what I want to do on my terms, how I want to do it and when I want to do it. If I want to take a vacation, I take a vacation. If I want to go for 3 days or 5 days, I go for 3 days or 5 days. For some people, that might be they want to be off 6 months out of the year, right? And what he said, where I'm getting at is when you go out, you graduate tonight and you decide to go out to college, you remember that you find the lane that you want to be in. Mm-hmm. And you define your own success. Don't let someone else define it. Don't let a dollar amount define it. You define it. And if you can find somebody to go along that journey with you, even better.
And see, what's interesting about that story is that it was mentorship.
Yeah.
That's the essence of mentorship, if you think about it, right? And, you know, we got to ask ourselves, I know it looks different with social media. I get that. And I understand that technology has disrupted the way that we communicate. Obviously, some of the social interactions that we once shared have been disrupted, almost absolved altogether because of the advent of technology and the way that it allows us to communicate in different ways. And some of those ways don't happen to be side by side anymore. So I think that in our community, right, when we talk about some of the heydays of our community, 70s and 80s, for parts of community, right? Things of that nature, the structure and the fabric of, you know, you got to realize, bro, you got to understand, like, neighbors used to, they used to get at you.
They could get down. They was like,
they could get down.
They were an extension of your parents.
Man, I used to cringe when I knew somebody else, I got in trouble with somebody else. Because I knew they was about to get on the phone and call my mom. First off, I knew they had, if they was close enough to us, they had license to put their hands on me.
Quick.
Straight up. And then I knew they was going to tell my mama they put their hands on me.
Yeah, with no reason to apologize.
And then she was going to get mad that somebody else's parents had to put their hands on you.
Right.
And then you got to go get that.
Because so, you embarrassed her. Like, she ain't raising you with.
Exactly. You got me out here in these streets looking bad.
Right.
Go figure. Ain't no child services. No. Whatever those agencies that they got now that they be threatening their parents with, like the kids be telling their parents, I'ma call the, look, they probably threatening them with the CDC. You know what I'm saying? I'ma call the CDC on you. You know what I'm saying? I'ma call Fauci on you. Like, these kids nowadays, they'll F around and call Fauci on the parents. Like, that's how crazy these kids are. They threaten them. They know all acronyms, ABC, BBB, CCD. It don't matter. They calling them. But with us, it wasn't listen, man. They had a license to get at you. And so, you know, I wonder, because now, I mean, listen, we had danger. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though we had a small town, Hot Springs, it didn't matter because per capita, we used to have danger. We had violence, we had murders, we had robberies. We had the same stuff every big city had, by far. However, in 2021, especially this summer, it's been the worst summer, probably worst year technically on record as it pertains to homicides. The level of disagreement and the solving the disagreement with pistol play. I read that yesterday in Indianapolis, they had a funeral where five people were shot up. And unfortunately, a four-year-old was caught in a crossfire and they were in critical condition. At the funeral, you can't even go get buried without getting wet up now. So I wonder, you know, with the state of violence as it is, and I'm sure the pandemic has a really good, it is a really good lever, unfortunate lever that's being pulled to increase it. But I'd have to wonder, is what would help our community get through our situation that we're in, that we no longer can argue, disagree to disagree, knuckle up there without killing each other and killing the people at your funeral.
Man, I hope you're not asking me for an answer, because
no, I mean, it's you. I mean, I asked you what was the craziest thing you saw today, this week, right? And you said it was the $1.4 million guy driving, you know, a $29,000 car, and the responses of that, the money didn't go far. Right. Craziest thing I saw was somebody getting shot, a four-year-old in critical condition, getting shot at a funeral.
Yeah, I mean, with that though, I don't really see it changing anytime unless we can really, like, the deal is, we can, just like you said, when we were growing up, there was a community, right? Now, the get down was, where the rubber met the road was, there was actually a community, and it felt like a community, like it was a true village. Like, it wasn't only on my block does that take place, right? If I was in the Black Projects, you know, we was down south, y'all. Like we had the Black Projects and the White Projects. Like,
you ain't lying. You ain't lying.
Right? All that green and I'm from this hood, that hood. Nah, you was from the Black Projects or the White Projects. You lived on this side. But everybody was on that side of the tracks, period.
Literal tracks, by the way.
We're divided by the tracks. So say what you want. Now, as we got a little older and people wanted to claim they hood or they set, whatever, whatever. All right, cool. But at the end of the day, we was all on the same side of the track. Period. You know what I mean? And so if I was in the black projects or the white projects, such and such mama could whoop my ass.
Simple. Period.
You know what I mean? I went to Head Start in the projects. So when I got out of Head Start, my mama's at work, Miss Francis, AB mama, watched me. Period. And if I got out of line, AB mama whooped my ass. And when my mama came to get me, she told me. Told my mama, hey, this is what he was doing. I bust his ass. He in there taking a nap. You know what I'm saying? And he got the sleepy hiccups.
That's a hiccup, son.
Sleepy this time you take a nap. You got your ass tore up. You know what I mean? And you'll be back tomorrow. And so...
Put that on the shirt, t-shirt, underdog, sleepy hiccups.
Hiccups. And so the actual idea of the village, I think, would have to be established, right? But that also takes us back to, I've always said, like, financial understanding to me is the one thing that would, if you had to pick one thing that would solve, it won't solve everything, but it'll solve multiple layers within a subset of the community. And it is the financial understanding, because, like, if you want to fix the village, well, first, the people need to take ownership in the village, right? You got to believe that it's yours, right? Part of the worst things, are coming, or I didn't say worst things, but a lot of the bad stuff you see around the country in black communities, they are coming out of projects, right? By and large.
That's real.
And so it's a place where, even though these people live here, you never feel like it's yours.
But we didn't create the projects, though. It
doesn't matter.
Right? I'm not making excuses. Follow me.
Yeah, I agree with you. 1,000%.
So we got to clean up. So we with limited skills, I'm pushing you a bit. No, right. I'm not saying we have limited skills. I'm saying that you create this environment for us to survive. Mm-hmm. And we have to figure out on our own how to thrive in this said environment, correct?
Yes. Yes and no. Right? Because Here it is. There will be certain individuals who have to lean on government assistance. Right? Everybody, I don't say everybody, but a lot of people go through situations where, hey, at this particular moment, I got to lead on government assistance, whether it's housing, whether it's food stamps, whether it's WIC, EBT, whatever you want to call it. I mean, shit, I had to get food stamps at one point in my life. You know what I mean? And I don't feel no kind of way about it. You know, if I had to go on unemployment at some point in my life, and I don't feel no way about it. It is what it is, right? It was put in place. Now, did I want to stay in that situation? No. All right.
I did do my 6 months, though.
Hey, do what you got to do.
Yep, right. 110 a week.
And so, but my point is, in order to have that village feeling back, right, I think we have to take ownership in the village, right? Even if you don't own a piece of property, even if you're in the projects, like, let's take ownership of this being ours, right? But the financial piece is, if you can understand, like, because a lot of people are renting and they don't have ownership in it, so they don't care about it, right? But you could probably, for a lot of places, when I say a lot of places, I'm not talking the big city people who live in there's more people in towns like where we're from than people think of, right? That are struggling with the same deal.
Exactly.
Who actually could buy a house. Like, literally, right? Because they're working. They're working individuals. If they understood the power of their dollar, right? And understood the steps that they had to go through. Now, some people know, okay, And it goes back to the why we do certain things. Well, if you start to own the houses in that area and there's more ownership, then there's more tax money going to those schools. Now, when you own it, because it's yours, you may now start to police the house next to you and the right of you. Not that you're calling the police, but you may, because you're keeping your neighbor, your yard up, maybe your neighbor keeps his yard up. They won't keep that truck sitting out there on blocks. You know what I mean? And if we hold each other accountable in that way, like when we grew up on my street, I literally was a block and a half, well, two blocks away. I could walk to the projects. You know what I mean? Everybody that was in the projects and on my street went to the same community center to go swim and play ball, right? The court at the Webb Center. It was not a lack of mixing between said haves or have nots. Like, did none of them have shit? Now, I guess somebody could think that because I was in a house where my grandma owned that, oh, I got a house. But we in the same neighborhood, bro. You know, like, what I mean?
And we getting on the same bus together.
Yeah, man. So if we take back the ownership piece and put, I think that helps build the village. And
then, I think it helps build the village a lot. But I also think, and I don't know if you're missing out, if you're leaving this out intentionally or because there are a chasm of pieces that have to fall into place, right? And this is one major piece on the chessboard. I feel like that, because there's oftentimes a stigma of people who remain in an area, a neighborhood, right? And the people who leave and escape it, that you think, and that you, meaning the individual that escaped, thinks differently of the people who didn't escape. When A, you're not thinking of the individuals at all. You're thinking about how you could, you know, live and sustain your own life. But also, I think that the people who escape don't do a good enough job to stay connected to where they came from. And that's what builds this uneasy, mysterious, pseudo, you know, faux relationship that exists. Like, for example, me, 520 Gaines Avenue. Can't nobody ever say Gaines Avenue was like anything above lower socioeconomically challenged. We had the dope street. We had literally more than all the projects. We had everything. Like, we had the gangs, the tricks, the pimps. We had it all. And a couple of churches on the street that balanced everything out at the time. You know what I'm saying? But we had it all. And I saw it all and I escaped that. But it's a part of me. I haven't forgot it because it's the heart of me. However, if you're from Gaines and you live there now, and my interaction with you over the past 20 years plus has been limited. So of course you're gonna have a certain perception of me, rightfully so. And I think that people in my situation have to do a better job of staying, if we care about the hood. Now, if we don't give a damn about the hood, well then I don't wanna hear you say nothing about the hood. Like, don't talk about what people in the hood do and question why they can't do certain things if you're not going to do something about it. And sometimes doing something about it is staying connected. Because I think when you stay connected, you have a better opportunity to share how you got out, what you did to stay out, or how easy it is for you to stay there and improve the hood without even leaving the hood. Because at the end of the day, many of us, we leave a situation, make another situation better with our new resources, and negate the very place that needs us the most. It's interesting because you and I got the same TikTok video from Coach Page this morning. Great video, right? And it was talking about how every now and then, you know, this white upper middle class society needed at least one person of color to escape, leave the environment so that they can take those resources, those would be, could be resources away from the environment, let that person feel like they were assimilating into this affluent America. But really what was happening was you were keeping that neighborhood at status quo. Status quo meaning subjugated and marginalized and challenged social and economically forever.
What about the person who makes it out per se, right? And goes back to try to stay connected, but is then ostracized or treated like a zoo animal because because like
not the zoo you, animal.
Yeah, because
zoo you, animal?
Right. Like right. Because you made some decisions or had some a fortuitous bounce that helped you get from A to B, right? So now you're treated like I remember like going to college. Like I remember kicking it all summer after graduating, hanging every one of my partners. We in my neighborhood, everything was cool. I leave, go to college, come back that next summer, and cats is like, yeah, what's up? Like, I'm the same dude. Ain't nothing changed. I just went to college for a year and came back. Damn near flunked out. So I'm finna be here with y'all permanently.
Permanently, forever.
But y'all acting like I'm not the same cat.
Did they know that you almost flunked out?
No.
Did they know in that 1 year that you've been apart from them?
No.
That... you know, you hadn't changed or your mindset. See, that's the thing. You bring up a valid point. We should all be changing. Like, hell yeah, I'm different than I was when I left Hot Springs, Arkansas at 17 years old. You damn right. I'm totally different. I've changed since yesterday, probably. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, for real. Like, all of us, we're living... you know, we're living creatures. We're evolving every single day just to survive. So the idea that you didn't change in a year and that wasn't for the better and the growth of yourself, but potentially the community. Listen, nobody was thinking that. They thinking, look, you think you better than us.
Right.
I mean, you know, I ain't been home since I was 17.
Which is utterly ridiculous, though.
It's totally ridiculous. It's asinine.
Bringing it full circle, to me, the problem and the reason for that is the lack of understanding of the finance, right? Because if I'm painting with a broad stroke, when I say we all on the same side of the tracks, right? But somebody that is may say, well, no, you live in a house, or no, you got two parents, or... no, blah, 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 or I'm in the projects. Like that, whatever level you're on, you're looking at somebody and assuming, but if you just get down to the brass tacks of the math, you got the poverty level, lower middle class, upper middle class, 1%. So when, I mean, you break it down how you want to break it down, you got this ladder with these five rungs and shit, the majority of us is right here between here and here.
I would throw working class in there after poverty.
Okay.
Which is a major rung.
But the, but the gaps there, you know what I mean? So, and a lot of your working class were either, could still be in the projects or not.
Absolutely. I mean, to your point, hell of a point, right? Because I remember being in New York, Wilson, at the league, NFL, and I was on the subway one day and I had my little NFL briefcase and it was a young dude, probably maybe about 30 at the time. I'm like 28 at the time. And he's like, man, you work, I'm all suited up. He's like, you work for the NFL? I was like, yeah, man, I've been there about 3-4 years now. He's like, dude, man, that seems so cool. He's like, man, I'm just a metro train conductor. I was like, dude, you nice. He was like, man, I only make 90K a year. Man, I wanted to hit him upside the head with that briefcase so hard. Like, I'm talking about like pop, 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 8 times. Man, at the time, I'm making about 40 racks a year. This clown over here literally jealous of me because of the perception that my reality was better than his reality. When his reality monetarily was twice mine. Right? I'm sitting there thinking about, he said 90 racks. I already know I don't make but 40. So I'm like, okay, you more than twice my check every month. So that means if I got your check every month, I ain't literally living check to check. I'm saving a check every month. You know what I'm saying? And so, but to your point, right? Somebody else's reality of you, their perception of you, right, becomes their reality. And that perception oftentimes carries a false pretense. Definitely. Far too many times. Far too many times.
And the deal is, that's where I have to bring it back full circle. Like, if we could fix the understanding of finances, then it's not a me versus you thing. It's a you versus you thing.
Head up.
And then
you head up with your mirror. Like, that's the fairest. You'll never have a race more fair, right?
The only competition
is you.
Is my own potential. That's my biggest competition. Period. I don't give it. I love you to death, and you know it. But I don't give a damn how much you go make. Because it's not gonna help me. Now, to help me in the sense that I keep myself in a group of individuals because I know that I become the average of the people I spend the most time with in certain arenas.
So you believe that the five closest people in your life, you the sum of those five people?
I got a hybrid version of it.
What's your version?
You're the sum of the five people that you allow to be closest to you in certain situations. Right? Because you have some people in your life that you're very, very close to. Right? But like your mom, my mom. I love my mama to death. Ain't closer to nobody than my mama. But I can't really talk money with my mama. I can't put my mama in the conversation with me by and large, day in, day out, when it comes to financial growth, because there's some things, bless her heart, but she can only teach me what she knew, right? And she gonna bring my average down.
But now, you know what? I push I back on
you. Stuff with her, but she can't be in my consistent conversation about money and finances and growth.
I push back on you on that. I don't push back on you. I accept it. I agree with you. My definition, it includes my mom for the very reason that you said, actually. My mom brings my financial literacy average, it plummets like the Great Depression or the Great Recession, right? Plummets. You understand what I'm saying? Plummets. Sorry, mom. Got to keep it 100. But her altruism, her charity, her philanthropy brings me to at least being a decent person.
Right.
Right? So from an overall perspective, I do suffer in some areas because she brings my average down.
But here's what I'm saying, right?
But she helps me in other areas be a really decent human being.
So mine is a working deal. So like you say, finances, my financial people that I talk to consistently about my own personal financial growth or struggles, right? These five people, right? Let's say it's, for example, let's just say it's you, Bo, Preston, and Sean and Buck, right? So if you five are my five that I go to talk to about financial growth, right? Well, listen, I didn't listen to my mom, but when I want to talk to my mom about, but when I want my five, when it pertains to philanthropy or charity or giving back or and why to do so. It might be you, Buck, my mama, your mama, Pete. So they kind of intersect here. But then when I want to talk about religion, it might be you, Buck, my mama, you know what I mean? So there's some people in each one, but I can't, when it comes to this one thing, you can't, no. I done left that room. We ain't in the same room. Now, when I learn something, I'll share it with you to bring your average up. You can keep me in your group and I help bring your average up, but no, I can't give you that.
Let's do something cool. Cause you all know what we doing. Before we close this show, don't worry, folks. We'll give you something else one day soon. But before we close this show, let's give some shout outs. Like, we know a lot of the same people, clearly. And it's a lot of people who have been really good to us. Some people who do great work in the community. People who are just awesome people. So let's give some shout outs to people who, let's give some flowers. It's flower time, right? Let's throw some flowers at people. Who you want to throw a flower at?
My first flower I really want to throw out. This name just popped in my head.
Man, we having fun, bro. You didn't know I was going to do this.
I had no idea.
It's cool though, right?
Yeah, it is. Local legend of my youth. And I have to give him his props because a lot of people don't know how actually intelligent and smart. Like when I say intel, I'm talking about an IQ and academic prowess, phenomenal.
I know who you about to say.
As well as just always good, cool human being, always was the same with me. Every time I saw him, no matter where we were, and was by and large my favorite hooper to ever come through here. Bob. Derrick Moody. I want to give Derrick Moody flowers while we still on this side of Jordan. That's my dude. I always respect T. He been cool. I don't care what nobody say, like or dislike. I don't care nothing about none of that. That's my dog. Like
T-Bob.
And every time I see him, it's always love. Hey, what's up? You know what I mean? And that he's been consistent being himself.
Well, I would give you a story about T-Bob. It ain't gonna paint him in the greatest light. I can give you two versions. But he getting his flowers. I just say T-Bob.
This is a flower conversation, man.
I know. T-Bob, I looked up to you. You know that. Straight flowers. Super smart dude. Really respect. My first flower is going to a lady. She was in the neighborhood. Prayed, made clothes, prayed for me, made clothes for me. You know what I'm saying? Cooked pecan pies for me, right? She one of the coolest souls I've ever known in my 45 years of living. I mean that and I'll take that to my grave. Barbara Hunter, Barbara Hunter Cooper, middle name. I got to give the middle name a shout out to. Buzzy, Margaret, Melissa. Got to give her a shout out. Great, great lady. Who else you throwing some flowers to?
I'll piggyback off of you right there. A stronghold in the community. You know who I'm gonna throw a flower to? It's not gonna be a lady. It's right now I gotta throw it to Theodore Marshall Sr.
Great ace.
KT dad, man.
Miss Charlene.
Yeah,
mistake.
Not that I wouldn't give one his mama. That's gonna come a different day.
I'm with you, but
but right now,
I
gotta give it to Mr. Marshall, man.
Mr. Marshall.
He was you know, being friends with KT growing up, and then, you know, I mean, you grew up no father in the household to
fuck out of daddy.
Going over there and seeing that and what that looked like on Saturday mornings when I spend the night over there, or the games, and just when he said he was going to do something, he did it, you know, and just the games that he showed up for me, like when Buck wasn't even playing basketball, you know what I mean? Buck was good in junior high when he got to high school, you know what I mean? That jumper was crooked, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect, Marshall, but you know what I mean? Your hoop game kind of took...
Man, why you have to go there, bro?
I'm just saying, he was a much better football player than basketball player.
I ain't said nothing, bro. Mr. Marshall, though, you the man.
Mr. Marshall made sure, even when his son wasn't playing, he still showed up for my games.
You know what? As we gotten older, I'm going to somebody in your class. Because you know, it's easy for us to keep in touch with each other. You know what I'm saying? Especially those of us who have always been cool. But it's a dude that we was cool growing up, but we've gotten cooler as we've become older as adults. And honestly, it's because of his character, right? Chop, I gotta throw you some flowers, William Blake. Straight up, you're a good dude, a good man. And I respect and honor you with this bouquet today.
Right on. I can't argue with that.
No way you can't argue with that. Of course not. Chop, man, Chop. Please.
William Allen Blake, Chop's my guy, man. And I even more so today, just seeing how he, with the I don't want to get into the personal details of his father's illness, but with the things that his father is struggling with and his commitment to come back home to be by his father's side, like, he's a man's man. If he say, you know, I love you, then he love you, you know what I mean? There's nothing to question. And so who else?
I got two more bouquets. You got two more bouquets. Who you giving your two to?
My first one is gonna go to my first, you know what I mean, neighborhood OG.
Petey, boy, girl.
Petey Finney.
Hey, guys.
Petey Finney, you know what I mean? Petey Finney taught me my crossover, taught me my jumper, taught, you know, he wanted to use my mama's car, so he had to take me. You know, so if he was going to see a girl, he took me, hey, look, we ain't doing all this talking. He put me in the dope on all of that, you know what I mean? And I couldn't jump off the porch if Petey wasn't there. And everything he did, from playing ball at Central to high school to walking the bike all the way down Guard Street and Pleasant, you know what I mean?
Like, what'd you say?
Walk the 10 speed, you know what I mean? And like, I wanted to everything. And then even on going to college, like, Petey went and came, you know what I mean? We would come home with chicks, different chicks from all over, you know what I mean, different parts of the country. And then he pledged his fraternity and come home with these letters on. Like, what is this shit? You know what I mean? And, like, Petey opened the door for that, man. And my next one.
I got one. I'm gonna go one, then you go one, and I go, right? It's cool.
Go ahead.
So my next one, and it's almost blasphemous. Unless you were saving them for last, I got two of them that you should use. You should have used it. I don't think you're gonna get either one of them. I hope you do. The other one, this one I'm about to use right now, she made the best. First off, the cake probably gonna kill me one day. If we're gonna be honest, your cake probably gonna kill me.
I almost said it earlier.
Your cake is so good, but I know it ain't good for me. I know it. Like, I'm looking at you.
Tell my mom about it.
Look, city council woman, Miss Elaine, the great Jones. I know your cake gonna kill me probably, but that's gonna be a death that I welcome. I appreciate you. I love you. You have been great in your public service to the great city of Hot Springs, Arkansas. You've been a great friend and family member to my mother. And I cannot, like the old folks used to say growing up, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't say thank you enough. Elaine Jones,
Elaine,
on your bouquet of flowers today.
Yeah. I just saw her like a couple weeks ago at your mom was down there feeding some people.
With the COVID corn? That's off. Leave that off the record.
Please. It's too late. You don't put it out there, but I'm not.
No, I didn't. No, I did.
And I got a chance to see Miss Elaine and tell her, you know, hey, and I love her and all of that. So, yeah, being back.
It's the real one, right?
Yeah, by far. Like, I'm telling you, the cake. But y'all, look, people. Look into these big-ass eyes of mine, people. The cake is so good. Like, my mom was battling her second bout with cancer. And every now and then, she just wants something sweet. And Miss Elaine made me this cake. And I did not tell my mom. Nope, you don't get none of this. This ain't for you. I'm sorry. I can't share this with you.
Oh, the cake is so terrific. Oh my gosh, it's so terrific. Y'all don't understand. It's like a butter cake, a yellow cake. I don't even know. It's a diabetes cake.
By far.
Real talk. I listen, man. I'm telling you, it's a diabetes cake.
That, like, if they tell you, if you got diabetes and they tell you, like, look, if you eat one more piece of this cake, we might have to cut off your feet. You will literally say, well, if I eat a corner, can you just take two toes? Just leave me three toes. And just give me a piece of that damn cake.
Give me a piece.
Give me a piece.
Who you throwing your last bouquet to today?
You go ahead.
You know what? I like the unsung people. I know. So she ain't going to think that I'm about to throw her a bouquet of flowers. You know what I'm saying? She ain't going to think it. But you're a dope, dope woman. And I've known you mostly all my life. I battled you in every oratorical competition early on in life until I got tired of losing. And I realized that I wasn't ever going to beat you. So I moved on to some stuff that I could get down with a ball and a bat, etc.
I talk to her every morning when I water my flowers.
It don't matter. I'm throwing you a bouquet, Jessica Foxy Foxworth. Here go your flowers today, girl. He should have threw them to you, but I beat him to it.
You know, I didn't throw them to her because I really, it would be more of a public announcement or something that she knows in private.
Like, super dope that I threw them, not even knowing.
Yeah, right, yeah. For sure.
You got to admit it. You ain't know I was going there.
No, I didn't. But when you said the oratorical.
You knew.
Yeah, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I keep in touch with Button. You know what I mean? Like Button know where bodies are buried when it comes to me. You know what I mean? And so, like, what's understood, like they say, don't need to be said. But I tell her all the time I love her. You know what I mean? Just because, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like when I say we touch base just about at least three times a week. Like, so, yeah, me and Button, shout out, Button. You know, Davis gave your flowers. You don't need them from me. So, she know where I stand.
Who getting the last bouquet today?
Last bouquet today for me is gonna go to. I'm gonna stick with the Marshall clan. I'm gonna go with Ted Marshall Jr.
Okay,
because he was a
Bear.
Bear was a big brother to me, man, and Bear was the first person to really explain the value of friendship and let me know that, like, what me and KT had as friends, it was hey. He recognized, like, after a few years, you know, 5-6 years, we still rocking every day. Yeah, hey, man, y'all got something that's good. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget when he said this. He literally said, you know, if you can go through this life and you have just one true friend, that's the best. You know what I mean? And so, keeping the whole conversation in full circle, we started off this thing and talked about you and I being 30 years in the game and friendship turns to family. Like, I remember when Ted Jr. said that to me about me and KT's friendship, you know what I mean? And you live this life and you have one true friend. A lot of people, we get to that point where you look around and you've been to a few funerals or something and wasn't nobody there that really really was friends to that person. They had some family members there, but no real friends, you know what I mean? And so that's a sad thing. Now, maybe they friends that died, who knows? But maybe it was just people that didn't want to stand up by them, you know what I mean, when it came down to it. Or it's only one person, one, maybe two, that's legitimately there. And so he sparked that in my mind of being appreciative of my friends. So when I came on this show initially and told you, man, I'm very grateful to be here with you. That's anytime I get a chance to do this with you. And we can wrap this thing up simply as that, man. It's friends and family and not being able to know the difference. And I love you, brother. I appreciate the opportunity. I can't wait for us to do it again. It's been real. And yeah, so.
I told you it was going to be addictive, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Episode 5, Pod is My Witness. Dr. Keenan Davis, Woodrow, Philip, Wilson. Hope y'all enjoyed it. The four of you that got the bouquet of flowers. Number love. It's a lot of flowers being thrown out to others. You'll see. Y'all have a good night.
Night.